Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just chilling on the junkies. Yeah, it's bit season. What a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season. Go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season. Ha 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 ha.
Hey, welcome to Bit Season, everybody. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
It is Thursday. This is episode, is this 180, Matt?
Yeah, this is episode 180, special 180.
Yeah.
I noticed you didn't say the date.
Everybody knows the date, Valdez.
They do?
Yeah.
Yes, it is July 31st, otherwise known as Drab's birthday.
Yep, the big, you know what? I don't like this birthday. Usually, I'm kind of feeling birthdays a little bit. 40 was no big deal, 41. 43, bro, that seems about
you're
so
close
old
to mid.
To me.
You're close to mid-40s.
Like, I just don't like that at all.
All right, but anyways, I got you a gift.
Oh, really? What's in your fingers?
What?
What's under your...
I got you. No. All right, candy, you want to come in here? No, I didn't get you a stripper.
CK is out of the office.
Yeah, he is out of the office. I did not get you a gift. Actually, I take that back. I got you 10 days of JP Free Junkies.
Hey, there is no better gift than that, my friend.
I'm just teasing. I thought about you. I think it was last night. Mm-hmm. I saw this thing on I think it was Twitter. Where it was going viral and everyone was commenting on it. And it was like, what's one of the least manly things that you can do?
Uh-huh.
And one of it is taking off on your birthday.
That is always something that kills me a little bit inside whenever I hear someone doing that. Now, sometimes it overlaps or you have a vacation. I can kind of get it.
You understand that.
But the people...
Like, I'm not coming in. It's my birthday.
Yeah. And I do a lot of the guys' schedules here.
Oh.
You know, the part-timers, the producers, weekend board ops. They all take off on their birthday. Everyone's taking off on their birthday all the time. And it's not just one day. It's the birthday weekend.
Oh,
their birthday can be on a Wednesday. They're taking off the weekend for their birthday. Almost, honestly, every one of them.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Is that a young man's game?
I don't really know. Maybe.
Hey, that's. Do you just say, bro, that's embarrassing?
No, I can't say that because they can make their own hours, you know?
Right. But when you say, hey, can you come in on this Saturday to do a weekend shift, they say,
bro, let me. I got one the other day.
They say, hey. I mean, if you really need me, I guess, but my birthday was Thursday and I got plans on that Saturday.
I would just never admit it. I would just ask for the day off. Hey,
would you say I can't make it in?
Yeah. Oh, this one may have been official. It may have been via email. He really wanted to get that on the record. Let me find this guy here. I'm not going to tell you who it is.
Well, he already told me it's a guy.
Well, they're all guys here.
That's true.
Hey, Drab, just a quick heads up. I'll be out of town for my birthday and unavailable from August 18th to the 23rd. So I need to take those days off. I mean, I'm just a cock.
You should say, get your ass to work.
Yeah, well,
I thought about that. I think one of the other funnier ones was... When the DJ tells you to make some noise, you scream.
That's unmanly. Didn't Barstool recently have like a 16-seed tournament of unmanly things?
I don't know. I know it wasn't Barstool. It was one of like people like quote tweeting.
Yeah.
It was coming up on my FYP.
I say if you're a guy and you're over the age of 25, you can't take off your birthday.
Well, what are your big plans? Are you having a nice meal?
No, I got literally nothing planned.
I think once you reach the age of 30, every single birthday becomes, I just want to go out and have a nice meal. I think that's every single guy's birthday wish?
I don't even, it sounds so lame. I don't even know. I mean, tonight, maybe I'll go out this weekend.
Yeah.
You're going to Pittsburgh. You're not going to be, but Mara's chomping at the bits. Trey's chomping at the bits.
Oh, they're trying to drag you out?
Yeah, they're just, you know, any excuse to go out and drink for those guys.
So,
I'm sure.
So you don't feel like a loser?
Yeah.
Yeah, why don't you do that? Why don't you go to Jackson's with Mar again and celebrate your birthday? Oh, actually, you can't do that. That's got to be a Three Amigos thing.
Yeah, I'm not hanging out on my birthday with a 24-year-old.
Yeah, then you'd be a real loser. Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. The best birthday present given to us or to me, Valdez, is JP being out. And wow, what a start to his vacation.
Dude, it's actually the gift that's going to keep on giving,
Kelsey told me she's going to keep me updated.
Oh, that's amazing content.
If you don't know what we're talking about, I think it happened in two different parts of the show, right?
Yes. She updated her story on Instagram and gave a brief little synopsis of what happened. It's they just got deboarded their flight. And my guess
trip is off to a great start. Dad threw his phone in the trash at McDonald's. And then I DM'd her. I said, Kelsey, I need some information. Come on.
I know. So we found out that they got off the plane and they ate like in the airport, right?
In Switzerland at McDonald's.
So I can understand that. You get off the plane. It's a long flight. You're mm-hmm. probably hungry. The food on the flight is probably not very substantial. And you're just, you got to get something in your stomach before your long journey to wherever you're going. So, like, that was weird to me at first when they said they're eating at McDonald's in Switzerland. Like,
what? Do you know that's actually one of my pet peeves as a non-traveler, once traveled once in my life outside of this country.
What's that?
Well, no, I guess not outside this country, but to Europe. People always say that you ate at McDonald's in Switzerland. I like McDonald's. And when I went to Spain, the first thing I did is I ate at McDonald's in Spain.
Well, that's
because I wanted to see if it was any different.
For comparison?
I like to compare. I actually ate at McDonald's like two or three times in Switzerland.
That blows my mind.
Yeah, you got to try the different things. And you know what? That's one of the things I remember. The meat over there, the hamburger meat, tastes way different than it does here.
Oh, I didn't realize you had such a sophisticated McDonald's palate.
I'm a one percenter.
But it makes sense to me coming off the plane and everything. Yeah. But I'm so happy that we're going to get these updates, because when the vacation starts off like this, it's already ruined.
It's not going to get any better.
Yeah. And I guess there's a little small percentage of us that enjoys everyone's misery. But you do feel kind of bad that you spend all this money and time and energy and planning to do this, and the vacation's already off to a start.
Well, to a certain degree. I don't want anyone's vacation to be absolutely ruined, but some misfortune is always great, especially with JP. And here's why. Because he was so dismissive of the whole trip. Remember? He kept saying, Kelsey chose it. She's doing all the planning. And he proudly puffed his chest out and said, I'm not doing any research whatsoever for this.
Right.
So
right.
He was just along for the ride. He's too cool for school, too cool to plan.
Right. It's machismo. That's their department.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
just
not
the vacation planning. That's your department. I'll fork over some money, but I'm not doing any of the planning.
Which I don't understand at all. I don't know what that has to do with gender roles, but that's 100% what's going in.
Well, that's what I don't understand. If I'm taking all of this time and effort and, you know, money to do a trip like this, I kind of want to know what's going on. I'm kind of curious.
It's not a machismo thing. Here's what it is. JP cannot be bothered with details. He doesn't like details. He wants whatever he's doing to be over as soon as possible. Example, him leaving the tip for the valets on the counter because he couldn't be bothered to wait two more minutes and get some clarification about where that money was supposed to go.
Everything's on his schedule.
His schedule, right? So he can't be bothered to wait to make sure the right valet gets the money for the tip for the month, which is just so tilting to me.
Yes.
he can't be bothered to plan out a trip because there's details. Mm-hmm. He just likes to figure it out as he goes, you know.
I don't know if it's figured out as he goes, but it's just, it's hard. Like, all right, here's the problem. Here's the solution, and that's the only solution.
Yeah,
that's kind of how I interpret him.
He is a one of one. I'll give him that. So we are going to take some delight, Matt, in his misfortune of cracking his screen. Now I hope he doesn't have to buy a new phone. Maybe get it fixed, like EB says, that I fix it, you fix it Switzerland or whatever.
I don't even know if that's a thing over there.
I have no idea. He'll figure it out. I mean, maybe he'll have to go buy a new phone.
I was going
to
say, there has to be a store.
Well, he doesn't need a phone over there. No. I mean, a lot of people don't even have their phones when they go to Europe.
No, that's true.
They turn them off. He can figure it out when he gets back. He's a minimalist anyway, so he's not going to be taking photos. He's not going to be on Instagram.
Well, here's what I know is that somehow it will get back to him that we are taking delight in all of this misery. Mm-hmm. So you know what he's going to do? He's going to overcompensate, and he's going to be like, yeah, I was fine. I don't need a phone. I don't know if I even need a phone right now.
He will be so dismissive of all the joning.
Right.
Right? Because he doesn't like to be joned on. So he's going to let you know that you can't hurt him with your zings because he doesn't even care about the phone.
Yeah, exactly. He's so punted phones. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He might not get a phone for the rest of the year just to prove a point.
Just to prove a point, yeah. That we were wrong trying to jone on him for it.
But I would disagree because I think, this is what I think is killing JP. Personally, I feel JP is addicted to social media. Now, I don't know if you feel the same way, but I feel like he is.
Okay.
JP constantly needs to
interact.
Yes. There's a desperate need for interaction. Yeah. There's a desperate need for him to read comments.
Why is he always replying to everyone on Twitter?
I don't know. That's part of it. Like, he feels like, for whatever it is, he feels like engagement also
equals ratings.
Equals
bonus.
Equals ratings or equals success of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think those are tied into one another.
But
in JP's brain, they are.
And then he got addicted.
Yes. And so during that process, he became addicted to constantly checking, constantly interacting.
Mm-hmm.
And more power to him, because I couldn't interact with every single comment that goes on my screen. I couldn't do that. But he, negative or positive, feels the need to interact and say something, interject himself, clarify something. And I feel like that might eat at him during the course of this trip. But also, I don't know because the stubbornness might kick in. So it's either one or the other. It's one extreme or the other extreme.
You know, we got to get Kelsey Flame on Bit Season one of these times.
Oh, that'd be a great guest.
It would be the bookend of the year. She can explain JP to everyone else. We've known him for decades.
You know what would be a great time to have her on the show is after the entirety of the vacation.
So she's going to go back to LA. You mean like on the phone or Zoom or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. We'll have her on the phone.
Okay.
We'll call in. This is what you should do is you should DM her. Just, hey, okay, can you keep like a running daily log after JP lost his phone of like, how he is, like what he's doing. Is he desperately trying to get a phone or is he?
Why don't I ask her to sneak away on Monday and call in?
What, to the show?
To the show and update us on JP's raging out, crash out, as she calls it.
I would love that.
We'll see. We'll see. I'll put a bug in her ear about it. Is that the right saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah. And see if we can make that happen. That would be fantastic. Would you want to go to Switzerland, Matt? Does that sound like a good vacation to you?
You know, I've started, I was always going, do I really want to go to Europe or, I've started to broaden my horizons about it.
Oh, really?
Yes. You know, you went to Spain. Jack went to Italy and mm-hmm. France.
Yep.
You know, the older I get, the more curious I am.
What about you? Would do a golf trip? Are you in two seconds?
No. I know that if I'm going over there, mm-hmm. that I'm going over there to explore, broaden my horizon, sightsee, become more cultured.
What's at the top? What country's at the top of your list?
Well, definitely Italy. I would want to go to Italy.
Hey,
but I don't want to go to Lake Como. I want to go to Florence.
Yeah.
I would be interested in going to Vatican City.
You want to see the Basilica, huh?
Yeah, kind of. I'd want to visit Paris, even though everyone hates you over there, just to say that you've been. And do you know, I've actually heard, believe it or not, that Croatia is beautiful.
Croatia is beautiful, and it's slept on, and it just doesn't have the history of Italy, so people don't necessarily go there, but it's just as beautiful as southern Italy.
Like, that's what I have. You been reading the same things I have?
Well, I'm a friend of mine is you know what else is in the same neck of the woods? Albania. Okay. All right. I tell you, you're sleeping on Albania.
Well, their flag's very intimidating.
It is a very good flag.
No, and then you just think about Albanian gangs and the gang members.
So Croatia
and I think about Taken.
Yeah, you have what is that on the other side? The Adriatic Sea, I believe.
Yes.
Okay. On to the right of Italy, you have the Adriatic Sea, and then you have Croatia. It's like a little bit of a longer strip.
Yeah, it almost looks like two fingers because there's a strip and then it's
but
more
I'm pretty
inland.
Sure Albania is right underneath Croatia, right down there by the boot of Italy, just on the other side of the sea. So people sleep on Albania. So I had an Albanian friend, Sonny Ledford.
Okay. and he's going, the beaches of Albania are beautiful.
He loves him and his brother. They go to Albania all the time.
I know, but that's what that's what I've read all the time is that they say Croatia. Croatian beaches are mm-hmm. beautiful. The city's the city's beautiful. The temperature's beautiful. But like you said, the Renaissance wasn't mm-hmm. flourishing in Croatia, so nobody cares about it.
Right. If someone said you want to go to Croatia and Albania for a week, I'm going. I'm signing it up.
Why did they choose Switzerland?
I don't know. I don't know. I got no problem with Switzerland. I mean, like there's a lot of fun activities and go see the Alps in the summertime.
You're neutral.
Yeah, neutral on Switzerland. They'll probably go do the Sound of Music bit. Isn't that in I thought it was in the German-Switzerland border area.
I thought it was Austria. I didn't
know. It might be Austria, but I think it's... All around there. I don't know.
It's all the same
range.
All I know is Lake Geneva.
I might be a donk.
Matterhorn. Chocolate. Watches. I know it's a very, very special watch district.
All right. You're right. It's outside of Salzburg. All right. My bad.
It's all, like you said, it's all the same thing.
Switzerland sounds fun. I wouldn't really want to go there in the winter because I just don't want to spend a week skiing. I think summer in Switzerland, you go up and you do all the gondola bits and whatever, all the stuff he's going to do does sound kind of fun for a few days.
Hey, I want to make a confession to you.
All right.
So my big Valdez European vacation, I've been gung-ho about it.
Mm-hmm.
It all stems from watching Destination X on NBC.
What is Destination X?
It's a game show.
Really?
Yes, with Jeffrey Dean Morgan as the host.
Oh, Negan?
Yeah, Negan.
All
right. Negan's his host, and they blindfold all these contestants.
Oh,
and they drop them in these different locations.
And they have to figure out where they are.
And they have to guess where they are based off of clues and like the location of everything and then different contests that give you clues to where you are.
Have you
seen? So they're traveling around, and I'm awestruck. about the beauty of where they are and everything. And I'm going to myself, you know what? I'm missing out. I'm missing out by going to Ocean City every single vacation or Hilton Head every single vacation.
You gotta mix it up a little bit.
Yes. Also, like, yes, you have to explore.
Have you seen these guys on YouTube or Instagram, the GeoGuessers?
Yes.
Are you not impressed by those guys?
Very impressed.
How do they do that?
I don't know.
I mean, if you don't know what we're talking about, you just type in, I don't know, geolocator finders or something, Instagram. These guys, they will be shown like a screenshot of some random hill in Moldova. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, and it will take them 60 seconds to pinpoint exactly where it's at on a map. What country, what region, yes. Down to the street, they can find this stuff.
Yeah,
sometimes.
This game show is basically geolocator in person.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what the pitch meeting was at Peacock/NBC.
Maybe I will check it out.
I just watched the finale last night.
Oh, so is it people competing all season long?
Yeah, there's like 12 total.
So it's kind of like, what's the CBS show? Amazing Race.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. A little bit.
I can't believe Amazing Race is still going. So JP will be out about 10 days or so. We'll have a little break from his steerage of the show.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of the show, I wanted to do a commentary about something, and maybe we can break it down and redo it mm-hmm. one bit season.
Yeah.
But I thought the Hulk Hogan tribute/eulogy that the guys did for Hulkamania after he died was a little underwhelming. And
I'd say more than a little. I do agree. I definitely agree with you.
I mean, maybe it's because he was a bigger thing in our lives, a bigger cultural icon, a bigger part of our childhood. And it, maybe the guys didn't really, he didn't really resonate with the guys as much as he did with us. But I just thought it didn't do him justice.
I would put Hogan, the guys have massive blind spots on cultural phenomenons. It's so frustrating to me at times, right? Remember when Jimmy Buffett died and it was like the fourth story on the EP and yes. the EP tried to do 10 seconds on it?
Yeah.
And I said, no, we got to stop. We got to do this properly. You guys cannot just glaze over Jimmy yeah. Buffett's death.
I think the same thing happened when Toby Keith died.
Yes. Toby, these people and Hulkster, look, we all know what happened, whatever it was, with the Gawker video and Hulk said some dumb shit. No excuses about
right.
it. And
yeah.
a lot of people, and rightfully so, I'm not going to tell you how to feel, no longer cared about him. That's fine. But that's not why the junkies just didn't properly eulogize him. They just didn't care or have no file on the Hulkster at all.
Yeah.
I don't even know how that's possible.
Like, even though all of that happened, it still doesn't mean he didn't have a lasting effect on a childhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and maybe you could, it's also, you can separate the person from, hello, the wrestling character
right.
that was iconic.
It's just, it was, you know what I loved? I loved explaining to Mar, like, how this blew up. Did you watch the McMahon documentary? It might have been.
I watched some of it, yeah.
Well, I mean,
like 6 months ago.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like the whole Hulkamania. This is what's so great about it is that they bottled up this like gasoline on a fire, which was this Iran hostage situation. Mm-hmm. They like bottled that up and then just it blew into decades and decades of fame and stardom. Like that's how.
Mm-hmm.
Hulk Hogan got its start was the Iron Sheik came out, was basically stereotyped.
Stereotypes were massive in the 80s, especially in wrestling.
Basically playing the character of someone holding mm-hmm. Americans hostage. And then Hulk Hogan was Mr. America coming in to save the day. And then that just all of a sudden catapulted Hulk Hogan into this wrestling character as wrestling got more popular and more popular.
You know what's interesting is that, well, like, you and I, we have fond memories, and I'm 5 years older than you, of Hogan, but we didn't even, like, Hogan was, like, in his 40s, mid-40s by the time we were really watching it.
Yes.
Because, for, you know, mid to late 90s was probably when we both got in.
Yeah.
I mean, the Hulkamania stuff was pretty much, it was all pretty much over.
Right. But I think what wrestling did was it always kept him at an arm's length. Like, you always knew that Hulkster was that Hulkamania was mm-hmm. there. Hulk Hogan was there. And even though if you're watching in like the 90s, you always knew about Hulk Hogan.
I would say, I would say, and I think I said this on the show, that that Hogan had the maybe the two biggest moments in wrestling history. And I'm not a historian by any means.
Let me check with Dukes.
But I even think Dukes would agree. If you ask people to tell you something about wrestling, two wrestlers from the 80s or a moment from the 80s, they're going to talk about WrestleMania 3 where Hogan picked up Andre the Giant and slammed him.
Yes.
All right. And
iconic.
Then one of the most stunning moments in wrestling history is when Hulk joined NWO and turned heel.
No one even thought of that.
You know, it wasn't a possibility.
One more observation that I have about Hogan and his death.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe this is what we do as a society now.
Yeah.
Is that as soon as someone dies, we immediately, as a online social media society, you have to be the judge and jury if this person's
deserves
to be
their flowers.
Yes, deserves to be yeah. eulogized uh-huh. or not.
Yep.
And be honest with you, that's kind of God's job, but
right. Yeah. But, I mean,
but
there's such and no, look, you have to say that
like just because somebody does something wrong doesn't mean that it overshadows anything good that he brought to your life or anybody else's life.
I would say that I was actually, in a way, a little bummed out that Hulk joined the Trump stuff, because that automatic, like, once you pick a political side and you're a face and you're part of that, then half the world's going to hate you no matter what,
right?
If Hogan was a huge Democrat and he was out there for Harris, I don't think all the white guys all over this country would be celebrating him this week. You know what I mean? Because
that's true.
They'd
I
be
feel
like,
that's
ah,
true.
That guy was a racist, whatever. It just, he aligned himself politically. Once you do that and you're stumping for a candidate and you're giving speeches for him, the warm-up speeches and all that, people are just half the world's not going to be fond of you. And so I think that was a big part of it, Matt, is when, as soon as he died, well, the people who didn't like him were going to say, well, screw that guy. He was a piece of crap.
I guess.
Yeah. So, but I don't know. To me, he looked kind of the same all these years. I mean, obviously he was aging, but you would kill to look like that at 70.
Of course
71.
I would.
Just huge biceps. I mean, he went bald so early, he always wore the bandana.
Uh-huh.
You never, like, I don't know. Obviously he aged, but he didn't, to me, like the last 15, 20 years, he kind of always looked the same to me.
Plasticky tan, yeah. Big arms. Yeah.
Just, yeah. A good look. 71 is so young. I feel bad for his family. A lot of family drama. I saw Brooks post on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
It was really sad. It was actually, it made me kind of get tears in my eyes a little bit, because they had a falling out and she basically made a post saying, "You'll always be my daddy," or something like that. It was kind of gut wrenching. Yeah. And you just, when you see these family dramas and the bond that these people have a lot of times, and they get torn apart, and maybe she feels guilty now that they weren't close at the end. I don't know. It just really, I hope that family can heal.
Hey, I want to do a quick little round table with you.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I was thinking about this. We mentioned it in a cameo that we did too, but this I'm not gonna. I mean, he's in the grave. I don't want to crap on him, but I will say the Hulk Hogan leg drop might be one of the weakest finishing moves in WWE lore. I feel like.
It's not the best. I mean, I thought there were probably worse ones. But he was so strong and powerful, though. Like, that was his bit. Like, his trunks were so massive. That if they
it's kind of like, look at my thunder thighs. I'm gonna crush you with them as I sit down.
But that was after he already kind of beaten them to a bloody pulp. There were a lot of dumb
moves.
Well,
I think the people's elbow is
and the leg drop are both synonymous with being kind of weak.
Do you know what else is weak? Because I've been doing a lot of wrestling thinking this week. Mm-hmm. If you're a wrestler,
you know what else? Hold on. You know what else sucks? Roman Reigns Superman punch. That's just a terrible.
I don't know
move.
That one. Was he just you know, hit somebody
you
hard?
Know the UFC thing where you kind of he stole it from the UFC where you run into someone and you jump in the air and you punch him when you're in the air.
Oh, that's trifling.
Yeah, I thought a lot. I didn't even like Bret Hart's.
I was going
to
say that.
Bret Hart's.
Listen to this. If your finishing move is a submission,
that's weak, right?
It's weak. No. Yeah. You know what the only cool submission is? And it's the only one I get down with. The mandible claw.
Mandible claw IKEA.
Very, very unique. But everything else. So
claw is actually one of my favorites.
We were big Ken Shamrock guys back in the day, me and my brother.
Yeah, you guys get some kendo sticks out with you, smash each other.
I don't know why. We always rooted for him against The Rock and the internet intercontinental title. Mm-hmm. But thinking back on it, I mean, his ankle submission is the weakest thing known to man. Now, my ankle looks like a jigsaw because my brother used to do it to me all the time. But you have that. What's you said the Bret Hart. We did the scorpion, or is it the figure four?
I'll say the Stone Cold Stunner in real life is just not a real move. Like, there's no move unless the other guy's selling it for you.
I know, but it looks cool. That's why.
No, it looks amazing on TV, but unless the other guy's selling it for you. Now, let me tell you, my little brother, bigger than me, always been bigger than me. I've been put in every finishing move in wrestling history. Uh-huh. Okay. Let me tell you the ones that hurt the most.
The pedigree.
Power bombs. Clearly hurt. The pedigree. Let me tell you, my brother does not know how to give a pedigree. It's not a safe move.
No, it's not.
So he would punch me in the stomach. I would, I can't breathe. He'd lock my arms, put my head between his knees, and then he's crushing my skull with his knees. And then he would just drop to the ground. But if you watch it in wrestling, the guy who's losing, his head is like way up almost by the groin.
Yes.
No, my face, my nose would smash into the ground. I'd get a bloody nose, busted lips all the time, and he would never stop. And you can't get out of it. The pedigree is an elite finishing move, Valdez.
The tombstone.
Tombstone is awesome.
Do you know why the tombstone?
You'll break your neck.
Well, it looks cool. No. But the icing on the cake of the tombstone is when he crosses your arms like you're dead. And he pins you like a G. Do you know what? Do you know which one? I'm kind of on the fence with the Shawn Michaels where he does the kick.
Oh, sweet chin music.
Yeah, sweet chin music. Yeah.
You're not athletic enough for that one.
What do you mean?
You don't have the flexibility for that.
Do you know which one is mesmerizing?
Sweet chin music is an awesome finishing move. It's always because it always came with like the loud slap that like knocked you out.
Yeah, all right, this one is majestic. It's the what was Goldberg's? Not the spear, but it was,
I only know the spear.
No, it's the one where he like a jackknife or something, and he would hold you.
Oh yeah,
he would hold you up in the air. Yeah. You look like the Burj Khalifa. He's holding you.
Yeah, yeah. The RKO is also one of the best ones.
I gotta give Randy Orton props. That's a good one. The Razor's Edge.
I think people just like saying Razor's Edge. Yeah, I think.
What was Sting's? By the way, what was Sting's
finishing move? I don't know. See, here's what I actually learned about you. You were a big WCW guy.
No, I was a huge WWF
really?
Guy. Oh, yeah.
And I didn't watch a lot of WCW. I always thought that was for brokies.
That's right? What I thought.
For white trash.
The white trash losers. That's what I thought.
I don't know why I thought that. Maybe because the production wasn't as good, right? They didn't have the money that Vince had.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of a low rent.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I always just like assumed that if you were watching a lot
like
of WCW.
I always thought it was the AAA of
it was
WWF.
It was really white trash.
Definitely was white trash.
I mean, WWF was white trash too, but I just felt like WCW was a step below.
What I always loved the Nation of Domination versus the DX. Remember the Logan.
The Nation of Domination.
Yeah, of course.
Also, we were in the era of, do you remember Hurricane Radas?
Yeah, but I don't remember a lot about
that. That's when you would jump up and put the legs around your neck and then you flip them over.
Yeah, I saw that midget do that move last week.
Yeah, that's the Hurricane Rada.
Yeah, right, that's what it's called. All right, hey, let's take a quick break, Valdez.
Oh, yeah, hey, we got to let you know that this episode of Bit Season is brought to you by Don't Sleep. Show your support for Drabby. Wish him a Don't Sleep happy birthday today. And me by going to don'tsleepenergy.com. right now, and when you get there, use that promo code Biddies to save 10% on every single order. Need a quick boost to get you through your day? Grab a 2-ounce energy shot, or like us, you drink the 12-ounce sugar-free Don't Sleep cans. Throw some swag in your cart before you check out, and remember, Don't Sleep makes you great. We'll be right back with more Bit Season. Welcome back to Bit Season episode 180, Drab's birthday edition. Everyone, everyone wish him happy birthday.
Yeah, yeah. Wish me happy birthday.
Yes,
I need it.
Yes, yes. Because he loves it when everyone does that. another week of Bit Season, back-to-back weeks, and we have back-to-back Cakes fashion segments that I feel like we need to do.
What was the one last week?
Didn't we talk about his fit for Muriel Bowser?
Yeah, we did.
So Cakes under the microscope again for what he's wearing. Today, it was very eye-opening from the start of the show. It was distracting, but Cakes had on a Surfside visor.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this question, Drab. Would Cakes have worn a visor today if it was just a plain old Nike visor? Or did Cakes wear this visor because Surfside sent it to him with a bunch of other stuff?
I thought he said he requested a visor. He asked them for a visor.
He did?
I thought he said that. I may have misheard, which is just a wild request. Like, who in 2025 is asking to wear a visor?
No, that means you've gone through the entire Surfside shop and catalog, and you've gotten everything sent to you. So you might as well get a visor or two.
I will go on the record, not even involving Cakes, that the visor is the worst male accessory that you can put on your body. Nobody looks good in a visor. Maybe Brad Pitt. First off, you got to have great hair. You got to have great hair flowing out of the visor.
But
I know you think that, like, Bubba Watson looks good in a visor.
Bubba wears visors.
I disagree. Those big floppy visors. Not even Bubba looks good in those. Maybe on the golf course, but Bubba has a lot of hair.
Visors in the wild are wild to me. They're rare. Like, when you see them on a golf course, you really don't think much of them just because, you see them every now and then. You might see him once around, once a day, every time you play.
Is the point of a visor?
It's to shield your eyes from the sun.
Yeah, I get that.
But also not be as cumbersome as a regular hat. I think that's the point of the visor.
Doesn't Phil wear visors a lot, or he did at one point?
He did, yes.
Back in the day.
All the time he used to wear them.
They'll never come back.
Visors seem so golfy to me. That's what it is.
No, cakes didn't seem golf. Cakes look like
I know, but when I think visor, I think golf. Like, I don't think beach. No. I don't think at a tiki bar or where anyone would be wearing a
visor. You know
visor.
Who he looked like today? He looked like, this is like three people are going to get this. He looked like Barstool's Coach Duggs. When, you know, like that big fat coach where he's wearing a visor.
He's bald.
Yeah. Do you know I'm talking? Some people know what I'm talking about. And like a Big Cat did a whole thing with him and tried to like take and win multiple national championships.
Yes.
He looked like a high school football coach to me, like a defensive line coach or something. It was just a terrible
you
look
know,
for Cakes.
That's another appropriate place.
Yeah.
It's football coach. Side. Yeah. Football coach.
Right.
Do you know who he made me think of was, do you remember the movie Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Of course. Yeah.
Kunu.
The
surfboard guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, Paul.
Yep. Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
So it's just anytime you see a visor, it's
no. Paul Rudd can pull off a visor. Kunu can pull off a visor. Cakes cannot.
It's a very sophisticated,
Right time, right place, right jawline. Wearing it without the beard as well.
I tried wearing visors when I golfed because I thought, like, when it's super hot, like your hat just sweats nonstop.
Yeah.
So I tried to do a visor thing, and this was in 2013. Didn't work. It's hard to look good.
You know what? I'll pick up a visor. Around next time I see, I'll start playing tennis with them on. Because I do take off my hat a lot during tennis, even though I played tennis yesterday for like 90 minutes. Blistering hot, 93 degrees. My head is so sweaty and that I just, it's irritated that I just took off the hat. But if I had because the top of my head was itching. If I had a visor, maybe it would work. I've never seen a male tennis player, I don't think, play with a visor. But who am I trying to impress on the tennis court?
You know, it was distracting when the first segment of the show, like we couldn't not bring it up.
Cakes has also got to stop doing this bit where he comes in here with like these wacky looks and then can't believe that we have our jaw open looking at him.
Like, what do you mean? Why are you so shocked?
Yeah, what's going on? Why are you? What do you mean? Just a visor, guys. Without my beard, I look completely different today.
Now, do you think that was valid? Because Cakes is saying, like, we're so stunned by the look. It's not just visor related. It's because he shaved his beard. I say no. It's because you're wearing something from 2006.
No, it definitely did not help. I'll say that. Shaving the beard. I've been thinking about growing a beard a lot recently. And do you want to know who my motivation is?
Please tell me.
I've never grown a beard. We've talked about this many times. Yeah. What have I always said about beards?
They're for fat people.
They're for fat guys. Okay? I know. It's an insult. Everyone gets mad when I say that. Yeah. I get it. Send your hate mail to my DM when you're wishing me happy birthday. Beards are for me or for fat guys. And that's just my own personal thing because I know if I grow a beard, the reason why is I'm trying to cover up my double or triple chin. However, I've lost a little bit of weight recently. Nobody said anything, but I'm down like 13 pounds. Okay, I'm like 187 right now. I think if I have a beard and I'm skinny, like I'm well below my plane weight, then I can talk myself into it because it's not for fat guys. But I'll tell you who my inspiration is.
Okay,
Kevin McCarthy.
Okay. Explain this to me.
I don't know, but I was looking at pictures of Kevin at Comic-Con on stage hosting, which I just cannot believe. And Kevin McCarthy has a great look. I don't know what it is. He used to be the dorkiest, ugliest guy that was constantly getting joned on.
Has a glow up.
No male has had a glow up like Kevin McCarthy. Go look at those photos. And he's not even trying hard. He's not even on the red carpet. But he does have good style. He's got a well-manicured beard. Fantastic hair.
Hold on. You had to have zoomed in on this.
I don't remember. I just remember seeing it going like, damn, Kevin looks good. Kevin looks really good. That's an attractive male. I'm not afraid to admit it. Kevin's an attractive guy.
What? Yeah, he does have. He has a great beard. I get beard envy. Because
you do not have a great beard.
I've talked about it before.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you.
I'm agreeing.
Thank you for.
You've said that you talked about how it's patchy. Yes, it's different colors. Yeah. It's got gray in it. Like how come Kevin doesn't have any gray in his beard?
I don't know. He must dye it.
You think he dyes it?
Like. Kevin never used to have a beard like that either. It's very grizzly.
I'm very irritated by it, but also
like, how can you grow a beard that?
Look at this photo with him and his girl here. Doesn't he just look like he belongs in L.A.?
He does. You know, he must have had an L.A. stylist.
I don't know what's going on.
Hey, what? Hold on. Why are you losing weight? All this weight? How are you?
I don't know. That I don't know. I don't. Stress of life.
I know because
I'm in the gym. I don't know. I just haven't. Yeah, had
I know
as big
you.
A,
I know you haven't been going to the gym.
Well, that's just been the last week or so. Because
I don't get it.
Mike hasn't been there.
It blows my mind the fact that you started drinking and you're losing weight.
That's the way to go, right? Usually doesn't get end up that way.
I mean, you rocked my world.
I don't know. It's not gonna last.
Okay.
It's not going to last. Right, I'll be back over 200 or whatever before you know it. But it does. It's just as summer's ending.
I know. During the last month of summer. Yeah.
So if I keep it off for a little bit, maybe I'll try growing a beard. I've never had a beard.
I know. Why don't you just do it for the month of August? Month of August. Let's see what it looks like.
No shave November. I don't even know the basic, like, I don't know if you're supposed to shave your neck during when you're growing a beard. I know nothing about growing a beard.
You let it go and then you kind of style it.
But you can't, do you style it from the beginning or do you style it after you let it grow like all ragged for 3 weeks?
I think that's after you let it grow ragged.
One of you beard guys, it's like a well-manicured, not one of
you. Are you going to start oiling
Not one of you Chad Duke's beard guys. Don't DM me because those guys just let their beards grow
yeah, like,
and don't
like bang. Tom.
Yeah.
Tom just, Daly.
No, I need a manicured beard guy to give me tips.
Drab wants to look like Mad Men.
Right, yeah, exactly. Growing a little hair on top of my head, you know, grow some facial hair.
Have you noticed?
Maybe I just need a new look.
Have you noticed that ever since we had... your doctor in your hair,
Dr. Burka from Dr. Maine Burka. Advanced Hair.
Ever since we did that show, have you noticed that I've been shaving my face much more regularly because we're talking about the patches nonstop on it?
Oh, he did say that. And so what did he say? I can't remember. He said you got to shave every
day. No. He pointed out the flaws in my beard so much that I don't let it grow out now.
So you're prepping your skin. If you shave every day, you're building, you're getting thicker hairs.
No. Just being self-conscious about it.
Oh, it's just self-conscious. This was a tactic.
No. This isn't the old wives' tale where you keep shaving and it grows back thicker and lusher every time. No. I think that's been debunked. Okay. I just shave it out of embarrassment.
Hey, in theory, it does make sense that shave it and it'll grow thicker. But in reality, I don't think that's the case.
No, it's not.
I would love to talk to you about last week. We ended the show talking about how men don't ask women out anymore.
Yeah.
And then we did another story this week that didn't get a lot of run. Maybe it was a mini segment or so.
No, it was like a full segment.
Oh, it was a full segment?
Yeah.
About how guys are trying to get too hot of chicks on social media. Mm-hmm. And of course.
Not dating apps.
Dating apps. I'm sorry. That they're going for girls that are...
They're shooting out of their league.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like... Guys know what level they are? Or are guys just delusional?
I would say guys are stupid and delusional.
And women are more aware...
Women are more practical.
But women don't care about his looks as much. I mean, they do care about looks. They don't want to date an ugly guy or someone they're not attracted to. But
no, but on the the totem pole for women, looks is not near the top. But as for guys, it is the top, or if not second or third.
I feel like a guy can trick a woman. Okay,
I definitely think that
a guy can trick a woman. If he's not as attractive into liking him.
I know, but that's why.
Do we all think that we got Riz and
yes,
charm?
Yes. But okay. that's why these guys are shooting out of their league. They may like they may know that
the women got to be so tired of that.
They know that this woman is hot.
Mm-hmm.
But in the guy's mind, they go, well, I mean, I'm funny and smart. And once she starts talking to me, mm-hmm. it's all wrapped up from there. That's
ego.
That's what the guy's mind.
Men have too big of egos.
Yes. Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Guys feel like nothing is impossible to them.
This is what guys do. We always think we're the best one. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Hear me out. I'm just gonna.
You're working. What's the working theory? Okay.
It's a working theory that if a girl would just, I'm thinking back to like my high school days and trying to like
courting
these like rizzing these girls.
I hate that.
For the record, we just say rizzing as like to be funny. I'm not really using that word like I'm trying to be 19 years old. So when you're rizzing up these girls when you're at 19, okay, you have this mindset that, and maybe this is the friend zone mindset. I haven't really fleshed it out yet, but work with me. That you bring more to the table than anybody else. Maybe, okay. You think that you have what a woman is looking for more than any other guys out there. Some guys might be better looking. Some guys might make more money than you. But when it comes to when things that it really counts, you think you're going to win that woman over with your
charm,
your listening ears, your caring,
thoughtfulness.
This I'm talking about relationship type stuff, not if you're just looking to smash. And you always think that no other guy can compete with you when it comes to that.
like you got some secret move.
Like that you're the secret
sauce.
You're the secret best guy out there that she is just.
And she'll learn.
You're a weapon.
Yeah, and she'll learn that
over time. And it's the oldest.
After a couple dates, she'll realize how silly
other guys are assholes. They're going to treat you poorly. I'm the real man that's going to.
I'm your knight in shining armor.
I'm the white knight.
Okay.
Is that not how like a lot of guys feel when they're trying to when there's competition or I think it is. It's been a while.
Isn't that the whole premise of dating shows?
Yeah.
Like you're competing with other guys and every guy thinks that they are the best fit for.
All right, let me break it down to you. The girl that I was in love with in high school that put me in the friend zone, okay?
That's rough.
Okay. Yeah. Friend zone level 99. Okay. I can admit it these days. I admitted it on Big O and Dukes. Old school listeners know this stuff. The pink necklace. By the way, if you actually want a treat, Mar posted a photo. He said, send me an old photo of you. I've sent him a photo of me back when I was in freshman year of college. And in that photo that the junkies stories of today wish me a happy birthday, I'm wearing the pink necklace. Okay, this is it's so cringe to even talk about it. I don't even want to go back into it, but I wore a pink necklace and the girl that I was in love with wore a matching necklace. It was like a friend's bracelet but necklace, and it had each bead had different meanings. I'm literally gonna blow my brains out talking about this. Hey, and I don't want to relive this.
I know, but just give me one of the meanings of the bead.
The pink bead signified the pink bead signified my hair color for bra.
Oh my god.
Because I dyed.
You dyed it to match the dress?
I dyed the tip of my hair.
Oh my god.
It was supposed to be red, but it kind of turned out kind of pinkish.
And I bet you that's you. That's your inside joke together.
Yes. Yeah. There was. How many years later is this? Almost 25 years later?
Give me another. Give me one more bead. One more bead.
I can't. Ask Chad Duke. I know he remembers it like it was yesterday. There were a bunch of little beads. I don't know what they all meant. Whatever. But the three big beads were the pink bead for my hair at prom that matched her dress. The black bead was because her Volkswagen Jetta was black, and I was the only person allowed to drive the car but her. I don't know why, but that was like,
yeah, you know, I put that on being 16 year old and stupid.
I wish I was 16. 19. And then the one that's more embarrassing than the pink bead was the clear bead. Do you remember the clear bead from this old story, Baldies? The clear bead represented
transparency.
No, it's actually worse than that. The clear bead represented the gaps in our relationship, but we would always come back together.
Oh my God.
Good for you. Anyways, my palms are sweating.
Yeah. I know. I'm sorry.
Check out the Sports Junkie story today. Yeah. Just picture of me wearing the dumb necklace and you'll see the pink bead in it. All right. Yeah, man, keep in mind,
whatever you do, don't tell Drab how stupid he was.
Keep in mind, that's in August of 2001 or September of 2001. I was a freshman at Arizona State.
Yeah.
The girl I was in love with was getting plowed out at a university 3,000 miles away. All right. What were we talking about?
You feel like you can always rescue the girl.
Yeah. I always felt like I could rescue her.
Yeah. White knight. No mm-hmm. one else can treat the girl better.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know. I feel like that's got to be some sort of complex, right? Where,
right? Definitely a complex.
Where you feel like when you step in, you're always the best choice available.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's just missing out. If she would just give you a chance. Yeah,
it's not your problem that you don't match together. It's her being so oblivious
100%
that she can't see what's right in front of her.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's
you spend some time in the friend zone and you realize these things, Valdez. Let's call it a lack of self-awareness.
Yeah. But I don't blame guys. I don't blame guys for trying to reach.
Shoot above their
ass. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now, if you're doing a wide net theory and you're a guy and you have an entire range of stuff you're swiping mm-hmm. on, all right, that makes sense. But if you're solely... swiping or liking or whatever it is with people above you, then I feel like either A, you're very self-confident, or B, at this point, you don't necessarily care the type of person mm-hmm. is. As long as they're attractive, you'll figure it out from there.
There's also the Hail Mary that you swipe on a hot chick and she, for whatever reason, is attracted to you. So you know what I mean?
Do you think guys are self-aware that when you're like, if a guy's doing this, are they aware that the girl that they're swiping on mm-hmm. is a smoke show compared to what they look like?
It doesn't happen to everybody, but at some point in your life, you find out, you have the potential to find out that a girl that is is out of your league is attracted to you.
Right. You establish early on in your
somehow it happens.
In puberty, you kind of get your range in puberty.
Yeah,
like through the years of 16 to 25, mm-hmm. that 9-year span, you can kind of figure out the range of girls that will be interested in mm-hmm. you.
Hail Marys,
and then you take that range.
Yeah,
and guys are still using that in their 30s, 40s, whatever.
Let me tell you something. Now that I've just embarrassed myself, I'm going to brag a little bit. Okay. All right? I've told you these stories before, but I know we're over time. Back when I was 24 or so, and keep in mind, I was on the radio, and the radio meant something back then. But there was a girl in Phoenix that was literally a 10. The most, like, a Phoenix 10. Okay. Okay. This girl was, but she was crazy. She was crazy. And I remember the guys on the show making fun of me, calling me chubby or whatever it was back then, maybe my baby fat.
Okay.
I'm always just kind of look the same. Out of nowhere, this Phoenix 10 sends me a MySpace message.
Oh,
I'll still remember it. It said, I didn't even know who this girl was. Okay. This is the stuff you get into. This is what you dream about when you're 14 years old getting into radio.
You're staring up at your Jim Rome poster.
Staring at my Jim Rome poster. Thinking about one day, a smoke show is going to like me. She said the message, burned into my brain. She said, hey, Drab, even if you weighed 300 pounds, I'd still have a crush on you. It was the message of a lifetime.
It's kind of a bad-handed compliment.
No, because it was that night. The show had just gotten over, and the guys were like calling, saying, why are you, jacked and all this stuff? You know, I don't remember exactly, but I just remember they were making fun of. Chad Dukes was making fun of my weight.
That's ironic.
All right. And then, of course, I fucked it up, and she was crazy, but there's more to this. There's a lot more story to that for another day, but.
Well, that just goes to show that looks are so much.
Hey, so that's what I go back to. If you, it's looks aren't everything.
Hey,
you got the charm and the riz.
Is there any way we can go in the Wayback Machine and
find that message? Well, let me just pull my screenshots on my phone.
Please tell you.
No, I don't know. Maybe I can find it.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. You know what I'm going to ask. Mm-hmm. Have you used this Phoenix 10 in your mental Rolodex?
Not in a long time. Not in a long time.
Just a week.
Not in a long time.
Okay.
Whatever a long time is, I'll let you guys do that. Not in a long time.
All right. Hey, that was fun. Mm-hmm. Like I said, everyone wish Drabia a happy birthday to him. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? You see him out and about this weekend celebrating. Go get him a beer.
Yeah, buy me a beer if you see him. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a nice bitty gift to Drabby.
Oh, real quick, one last thing because we're never going to remember this. When we were talking about Mar on the dating apps, and then the guys were getting into the Mar's private life with the girls.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, by the way, I just want to, for the record, I thought Mar did a great job explaining his technique and what he's looking for, and I thought Mar came across very
opening
well.
Up a little bit.
I thought he came across very well during that segment.
I died of secondhand embarrassment. I don't know if anyone else even picked up on this. I know you and I thought it was cringe. when they were talking about asking Mar about how many girls he talks to and if he's has a relationship or is he courting girls, JP said, "What a." You got a bench?
Who's on your bench?
Who's on your bench? Referring to the girls that you're talking to as a bench, I don't know if it's just the corniest thing or an old man thing. I don't know what it was. And then he doubled down and called it a roster after that. It was just, I got the douche chills, Valdez. It was so lame by JP calling the girls you talk to a bench. Now, maybe that was a thing back in the 80s or something. I don't know. But
they were probably saying that at Norwich.
At Norwich, yeah.
My Norwich bench.
All right, guys. Everyone have a great weekend.
Yeah, have a great weekend.
And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Later. Bye.